5 Sundays ago, we started with the gift of Mary's yes, and it's fitting that we arrive back here with the Magi in a way that is similar in some ways to Mary's yes. When I talked about Mary's yes, I talked about how her yes to God's invitation to carry the Christ child was as much about what she was saying no to as it was about what she was saying yes to. When Mary said yes to the invitation to bear the Christ child, Mary also had to say no to many kinds of possibilities that might have existed in her life. And in the same way, today's yes, the yes of the Magi, is as much about what they say no to as it is about what they say yes to. Their yes is as much about their willingness to say no to Herod as it is anything else. Matthew is careful in the very first line of the passage that I read this morning to set the rule of Herod as the backdrop into which Jesus comes. In the time of King Herod is the beginning of this chapter. And Matthew is intentional about this from the very beginning of the gospel, setting up the time and the place and the circumstances and the backdrop in which all of this happens. If you know your gospel, you know that Matthew's gospel starts with the genealogy, which is the part that you skip when you start reading the Bible, because it's all of those names that you can't pronounce, and it's all of that so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. But Matthew puts it there for a purpose. He puts it there to demonstrate for us that all of this has been in the works for a very long time. It's the movement of God has been moving across generations. And Matthew includes people in that genealogy for a purpose, to show us just who it is that God has drawn into this movement, that it's all kinds of people. And you've probably heard me talk before about how remarkable it is that Matthew includes 4 women in that genealogy and who those 4 women are. There's Tamar, who disguised herself as a prostitute and bore a son fathered by John, who happened to also be her father-in-law, and then had to defend herself against him by proving that he was the father. That's in the Bible. It's not on Jerry Springer. Then there's Rahab, whose very name means prostitute, who operated an inn and probably a brothel in the walls of the city of Jericho, and she hid the spies in the walls of Jericho in the Battle of Jericho. There's Bathsheba, who's not even mentioned by name. She's just mentioned as the wife of Uriah in the genealogy. She was the wife of Uriah until David saw her bathing on the roof. Maybe you know this story. And took advantage of her and then sent for her husband to be brought to the front lines and killed in battle. And then there's Ruth, who goes to the threshing floor with Boaz and claims agency and her status as a financially insecure widow. She takes matters into her own hands. So Matthew means for us to see from the very beginning that this movement of God has been happening among all kinds of people. From the genealogy, the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, up into and including the nativity story itself. Because then you start to think about the characters in the story of the nativity and how unique and different, how unexpected maybe they are for the birth of the King of the Jews as the Magi come seeking. There's Mary, vulnerable and unmarried and young. There's Joseph, a stepfather, an adoptive parent. There's the shepherds, who are untouchables in the first century. There's today's characters, the Magi, who are these stargazers who signal the geographical and religious boundaries that folks who are drawn to Jesus are going to cross. From the very beginning, Matthew shows us that this movement is about to pop open and begin to cross all kinds of geographical and ethnic boundaries. So all of this unfolds, and Matthew makes sure that we have in the time of King Herod as the scenery. And in the front, in the foreground of the story, are all these people, but we can't forget what's happening in the background, right? The setting of this story. And so there's a scholar named Mihi Kim Kort who writes beautifully about this passage. I'm going to quote her again in a few minutes. But she says that the genealogy shows us that, quote, God will do this work no matter what. And God will invite anyone to participate in it. A young woman, Mary, a stepfather, Joseph, night shift workers, shepherds, foreign scientists, the Magi, fishermen, sex workers, Tamar, Rahab. And so all of this unfolding that's been happening through these unlikely people comes to this moment with these people, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, now the wise men, against the backdrop of Herod. And all of this is happening against the backdrop of Herod and the way that Herod wields power. And the way that he exercises that power in the world. And the way that he holds that power over people in the world. And so Herod symbolizes all of the Herods that came before him. He's a figure of sort, a type. Because there were Herods that were involved in all of the other lives of the people who were named in that genealogy. And there will sure be Herods who come after him. And so to say in the time of King Herod gives us a sense of historical time. It puts it on a timeline, yes. But it also, if we look at it through the lens of faith, it means that God was working out the salvation of God's people while a violent, morally bankrupt leader appeared to hold all the cards. That is the backdrop against which God is working out the salvation of God's people. I want to quote Mihi Kim Kort again. She writes, "It also gestures towards the imminent fulfillment of God's purpose. God's kingdom, represented in this newborn, who embodies a steadfast resistance to such systems of violence. During this particular time and space, in Bethlehem of Judea, we see how God's promise has been written right into the story from the beginning, from the generations that preceded this moment. And so even in the time of King Herod, when it seems impossible and precarious, with all of creation yearning, groaning under many years of oppression from an unyielding empire, the entrance of Jesus into the world activates reverberations by people thousands of miles away who are simply attending to the choreography of stars and planets." And here's the money quote. We can't read in the time of King Herod without recognizing how the genealogy suggests a beautiful inevitability even in the midst of a political impossibility. In other words, that God has been working in the foreground even while in the time of King Herod is unfolding in the background. And that actually what we see as the foreground is God's background. God is busy working through people and in people that just so happen to be on the underside of the story as we see it. You see what I'm saying? See where I'm going? And so the Magi's yes to seeking out Jesus, their yes to choosing what they believe God is doing, rather than being seduced by the fake earnestness of Herod. I mean, Herod is playing the part, isn't he? I would like to come and pay him homage. Please tell me. Herod's got his religious people who are ready to interpret the scriptures just as he would like for them to interpret them, who will come around him and tell him what he needs to hear. And it says in the Bible that it's not just Herod that's frightened. It's Herod and who? All of Jerusalem with him. So the Magi, in saying yes to the Jesus, they say no to a certain way of seeing things. Because Herod is playing all the parts. I mean, he's smiling at the prayer breakfast. He's shaking hands and in relationship with the quote-unquote the right people. But the Magi can see straight through to the truth of what God is doing. And their willingness to go home by another road is actually an act of civil disobedience. Because Herod is the appointed king of the Roman Empire. And he tells them to come back and report to me. And they refuse his request. And so their yes, the Magi's yes, is as much about what they say no to as it is about what they say yes to. Their yes is a yes to resisting a certain kind of power. Their yes is to understanding what God is doing on the underside of the culture. Their yes is saying yes to being part of the subversive people of God who are working to bring about God's peace and God's justice. And so this is hope for people like us in the first week of 2020. Because God was working against the backdrop of a world that was torn apart by violence. That God was working in the backdrop against a world that was creation that was groaning. And here we live in a world where creation is burning. That despite what she calls the political impossibility that seemed evident around them, that there was a beautiful inevitability to God's promises. And so this is a word, the yes of the Magi is a word of hope for those of us who are looking at the backdrop and thinking that that is the main story, when in fact God has been and is now and will be working out God's promises even with the politics of Herod as a backdrop. It's difficult to hold to that seed of faith in days like these. But this is the story that we have. This is the story that we have. In the first, when I talked about Mary 5 weeks ago, I invited you to think about your yeses and your noes, and the ways that you say yes to some things and no to other things, and to be intentional about what you say yes to, because what you say yes to means that you're saying implicitly no to something else, and to be intentional about what you say no to, because vice versa, it means saying yes to other things when you say no to one thing. And so I wonder now, as we enter into this new year, I think actually we will be pressed with these choices more and more and more with every day that comes. The choices of our yes and our no, what values we will say yes to, what values we will say no to, those choices are going to be pressed on us more and more and more. Because it's no longer a passive choice to say yes or no to care of creation. That choice is now in our face. It's on our news feeds, and pretty soon enough, it's some way or another on our front door. And so our yes and our no about the impact of our living on the environment is now impressed upon us. Our yes and our no. What will we say yes to? What will we say no to? I was confronted this morning. I came in. We were out of paper in the office. Kathy alerted me too, thankfully, on this past week, because I wouldn't have been able to print my sermon. So I came in with the box of paper that was, thanks to Amazon Prime, delivered in 2 days to my front doorstep, and I unboxed it, and I'm printing a sermon about making choices. And whether I make choices that say yes or no to the values of empire. And here I've spent our office budget and paid the richest man in the world, whose workers are afraid to take bathroom breaks, who's quieting people who are questioning the economic impact of the company or the environmental impact of the company. We have choices. I'm as big a Prime addict as anyone, but we have choices to make about, and these choices are not distant choices. They are real close-up choices that we have to make, what we are going to say yes to and what we are going to say no to, and how they reflect the values that we claim to hold. And this is the gift of the Magi's yes, because they bring it home for us. They show us that it is possible to make choices that are in keeping with the kingdom of God, even in the midst of the politics of Herod as a backdrop. They show us that it is possible for us to go home by another road, to make choices that are in keeping with the kingdom of God that we believe is at hand, that we believe God is working out, that God has been working out through Tamar and Rahab and Mary and Joseph and the Magi and the shepherds and all kinds of other rejected people, and is doing so even now. And we have the choice to say yes to being part of what God is doing in front of us. in the remaking of the world. Thanks be to God for the Magi, for showing us. Thanks be to God for people who come from outside the religious community, the people who come from other sides of borders, the people who come with different colors of skin, the people who come dressed a different way, who come and show us what it means actually to kneel and wonder at what God is doing. Amen.